Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
So one of the biggest headaches the last 4 years was the FTC. That's right, the Federal Trade Commission. Using it as a weaponized agency to go after political enemies and the free market. For the purposes, of course, of helping the socialist agenda. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli on a busy day here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's great to welcome back to the program Robert Bork Jr. He's been a longtime friend of the show. Of course, his dad was an incredible American and one of my favorite judicial scholars. And Robert Bork Jr. is no exception. He has been fighting the good fight against the FTC and Lydia Kahn, who's a hideous human being. He is the president of the Antitrust Education Project and president of the Bork Communication Group. Mr. Bork, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Great to be here. Nice to talk good. To you again.
Yeah, listen, a lot going on. I know that the last 4 years, the FTC, and you were on the show, you've been on the show a bunch of times, was a real thorn in the side of the free market, going after a lot of mergers and companies, just kind of for the hell of it. You were speaking out against those every single time it happened. What kind of changes would you like to see, first and foremost, and what can we expect going forward?
Wow. Well, first of all, Lina Kahn, who had been the chair, is no longer the chair. She's still on the commission, but she's announced that probably by the end of this month or a week later, she's going to be leaving the commission altogether. I'm not exactly sure what she's going to do, but as long as she's not in the position of harming capitalism, I'm not sure I care. She has been replaced by Andrew Ferguson. Andrew Ferguson was a Clarence Thomas clerk in his past life and Solicitor General of Virginia, and was nominated to the commission and joined the commission a couple months ago or so, and has been elevated to the chairmanship. So he's there. He's pretty good. Sometimes he says things that make me a little antsy, but you know he's anybody is better than Lina Kahn. Then also, there's a new commissioner who will have to be voted by the Senate, a guy named Mark Metter. He's truly a conservative. There's a group of Republican Republicans who really believe that Lena Khan really wasn't as bad as all that. And he's one of those. But the commission, will, when he joins, will be 3-2 Republican. And I suspect that it will function much more, be much more friendly to business and capitalism. And although I think it's, they still have their bullseye on big tech.
All right. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So President Trump last week came out and had a big announcement at the White House, obviously, about artificial intelligence and the investments that are going to be made in artificial intelligence. And he's all in on this. And the idea that the United States has to get ahead of this, because if we don't, our enemies will. And we got to make sure we have the energy for it. And it can do a lot of great things. Obviously, there's a lot of concerns about what it can do, but it can also do great things, in his opinion. But the FTC seems to be trying to stand in the way of that. So explain it to us.
Well, you know, it remains to be seen now what's going to happen, because the FTC did a big study, took them a year to do it, looking at Microsoft's investment in OpenAI, which is the parent of ChatGPT. $13 billion is a lot of money. And so I think it twitched all of their biggest bad nerves over there. But again, this was Lena Khan's project, and she's gone. I know that the incoming leadership is concerned about AI, but they also have a president who's basically said, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. Mm-hmm. However, I just say this. If the government regulators want to get all over AI, they better realize that there's enormous competition all over the world, not the least of which was today, with an announcement or a story by Barron's that the Chinese have something called DeepSeek that can do AI just as well and a hell of a lot less expensive. And the market crashed. NVIDIA's stock price dropped 16% today on that news, and NASDAQ plummeted. Now, obviously, these things will come back, but there is clearly competition. So if the FTC is worried about competition, they have to, you know, do no more than read Barron's this morning and do a little research, and they will see that this is a very engaged, aggressive, thriving marketplace, and they should get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, you make such a great point there, right? We can pretend like we can stop this thing. We can't stop this thing. There's going to be very, very smart people, companies, and every country out there is going to want AI. This is done. This is a done deal. The only question is, can the United States? I look at this in some ways too. It's in many ways a great analogy was made to me. It's sort of like Oppenheimer and the development of the atomic bomb. Like, somebody's going to do it. Shouldn't it be the United States of America? So, I mean, shouldn't we be the leader in this? And the only way to do that is to unleash competition here within the United States of America. It is not to put in government hurdles to that. It's an inevitability that AI is going to be here. We should be in front of this thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we are going to be in front of it. You know, setting aside all my concerns about, you know, Terminators roaming the streets and things like that,
they won't roam
coming.
So much as they'll just kind of hover. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, I've already built my moat and I'm ready for it. But
get a German Shepherd. They sniff them out very well.
Yes. Well, I have a golden retriever. Not so good. But anyway, look, not to make light of it, but what I think the underlying point of my humor is that it is inevitable. And frankly, it's inevitable that government will try to somehow micromanage it. But the speed and growth of AI is faster than the paranoia of government regulators. And it'll be here. And I think I just saw somebody the other day saying that by 2026, it's going to be it's going to be independent. If you know, it will surpass human intelligence.
Yeah,
scares the hell out of me. But but maybe that will be good for things like like healthcare and inventing new things we haven't ever thought about, things I can't even imagine now. So I'm excited about it, and I'm.
Oh, as he starts to mention his concerns, we lose him. Where'd he go, Matt? Is he still there? Justin, is he still there?
He's still connected. I can drag and call him back.
See if we can get Robert Bork Jr. back on the phone. I have a couple more questions for him regarding AI, if we could, and a couple more Terminator references for him, too. Thank you. This happens, though. Every time we mention China, you notice this? And this happened with Gerald Posner last week, too, when we talked about the CIA. Click, right? Just saying. Just pointing this out. You know, could be AI crashing our phone lines for all I know, but doesn't it seem like when we get very, like all of a sudden, gone?
You crashed last week too, remember?
I did. Yeah, I started getting garbled and jumbled when I was going on about something. I don't even remember what it was now. So long ago.
JFK files, actually.
JFK files. I was like, and the real shooter is... basically that. It's like, I have here, in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers, the answer to who really killed Kennedy, and it's, oh my gosh! Did you get all that? It's basically what happened. All right, he's back. All right, let's get back to you. I think AI was trying to shut you up, Robert Bork Jr., but I'm glad you're back on the show.
I'm looking out my window for a hovering Terminator right now. I think I was about to say what some of my concerns are, but we've already sort of touched on this. My concern is that the government meddles inappropriately. There's appropriate, you know, place for government to look at things, but meddles inappropriately, and somehow or another, we end up handing the lead to the Chinese. And I think that's a real concern. I must say, I don't worry about handing the lead to Europe. They haven't invented anything in, 100 years. but they make cuckoo clocks, so that's good. But the Chinese—that's what scares me, because they want it, and they're going to try to get it. And hell, they're probably stealing it from us.
I'd be shocked if they weren't. Look, I think there's two things here. The role of government I'd like to see them play is thinking proactively on how to protect our civil liberties when AI comes around. That's number one. And number two, making sure that our AI can beat up their AI if necessary. Because if it comes down to
it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a particularly scientific way to put it, but I don't know what other way to express it. I want to know that if our AI and China's AI go head to head somehow, when they both take on their infinite life force, when they become self-actualized, I just want our AI to win. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And it's really, it's just so good that this is happening now, as the Biden, the cops, the police at our elbow, as the AAG for antitrust at DOJ, the Biden Antitrust Division, said that they are the cops at our elbow. Well, I'm glad that they're all out of work, and that the president is pushing some very bad career people out of the Justice Department. And I think that bodes well for our future of allowing our companies, even the ones that make us crazy sometimes, to innovate and create jobs and create wealth, because we're going to need it, because we're in a deep hole financially. This country is.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to ask you before I let you go. In the last 4 years, as you've been covering this, since Trump left office and Biden came into the office, and then Khan comes into the FTC, if there's any damage you could reverse, any particular, say, merger that she shut down or anything that you'd like to see come to light now, if you could give Trump a recommendation on something, or if something could be resurfaced, is there anything that comes to mind?
Well, you know, I have been advocating for something called the consumer welfare standard, which basically means that when it comes to competition law, when it comes to antitrust, the consumer should be the focal point of everything that we do in enforcement. And if the consumer is not being harmed, we should just leave well enough alone. Mm-hmm. This last administration has wanted to move away from that to add in all sorts of other woke stuff like equity and, you know, and sort of and some labor concerns.
Ah, lost him again. As soon as he brings up equity and labor concerns. I get it. I understand. All right, we'll let him go. It's been painful for him, I'm sure. But thank you to Robert Bork Jr. for joining us, president of the antitrust. He does a phenomenal job over there. It really does. But I think the AI is coming after him. So we'll say thank you to him, president of the Antitrust Education Project and president of the Bork Communications Group. We'll post a link to his latest piece about FTC antitrust concerns and a link to his project as well, antitrusteducationproject.org. All right, 855. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Thank you.
The Oli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
855-839-1210. If you want to weigh in and get cut off by artificial intelligence, feel free. And you could also tweet the show at on X at Rich Zeoli. Comment along on our YouTube chat. But I think one of the his point that he was making, though, about how if the consumer's not harmed, then the government should stay the hell out of it is completely and utterly accurate. He was getting into also the DEI stuff. Trump said something very important over the weekend that I want to make sure it doesn't get lost in everything, which is that we are about merit. OK, that this is a merit based world and a merit based country. This is very similar to what I said last week on America's Newsroom on Fox News. I don't know if I mentioned that I was on there or not, but if I didn't, my humble apologies. When I was on there, I said the same point. I said, we in this country, America, we love equality of opportunity. We do not like equality of outcome. That is antithetical to the American spirit. That's not who we are. And Trump's changing that. And this is a key area here where, again, the pendulum swung too far left. The left pushed it in that direction with their DEI crap. And saying, look, it doesn't matter who the best person for the job is. It matters that person checks all these boxes. And to think about it, like airlines, for example, airline mergers. Instead of trying to block airline mergers, the FTC was blocking them because they felt like there wasn't enough diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. And they would turn around and they would say, well, maybe we'll get off your back as long as your company has the following. You get on an airplane. You want a pilot who's going to be able to land that freaking plane. The freaking goose flies into the engine. The guy's going to be able to land it safely. You don't want somebody who's there because they checked all the DEI boxes. Same thing when you go under the operating knife. It's a lesson I continuously am reminded of. Not that I went to a DEI doctor, but you got to make right choices. You know, I didn't go to Cooper for my foot and I wound up with a freaking staph infection. Like it matters, you know, and you want the best. We all want the best when we make our choices. So we have to be a merit-based world and we have to be a merit-based country. And frankly, it's better for everybody that way. It's better for everybody. Everybody wins. This notion that it's a zero-sum game, this notion that there's scarcity of victory out there, that if I get something, somebody else loses out on something, that mindset is not correct. I'll give you a great example of this, right? Let's take my buddy Jimmy Failla, for example, use this point. Since I was on his show last week, not this past Saturday, but I was on it the Saturday before. I may have mentioned that as well. And forgive me again if I didn't mention that. I got to get way better promoting this stuff. So he's a comedian for years. And he's on Fox News. He's got a radio show and he's going on here and there and he's doing all these interviews. Gutfeld gets a 5-night-a-week comedy show. Now, Failla could get all depressed and be like, that's it. That was my shot. That was my chance. Or you keep playing good ball. And then Fox says, we'll give you a Saturday night show. We have to stop looking at things in life from the perspective of, well, somebody's got that, therefore I can't also achieve something similar. Or because that person gained something, that there can't be an alternative to that. And the problem with DEI, in my opinion, is it comes up with that scarcity mindset. I'm like, well, you know, this position, there's only one to be filled, and so it has to be filled with somebody who checks boxes. Why is there only one position to be filled in that matter? They say you want to be a talk show host one day. You're like, Art Zioli's got a radio show in Philadelphia, and he's crushing it. True. But you could do what my buddy Tom Aslebe did. Start a podcast, and then one day you're filling in. Start your own podcast, and your podcast builds up. I said this to my buddy Steve Pacroduni last night, because he's filling in with Barry Sable and Sable and Friends over the weekend. Said this to Matt Rooney, same thing. I mean, I started out filling in on Sunday nights. Well, I remember the time when PHT announced a radical lineup change to the station, and it was 2012 or something like that, and somebody made the comment of saying that that lineup was going to be there for the next 10 years. 2 years later, I was named the afternoon drive host. And we live in an age now where you can pretty much try things in new ways. One thing I noticed last night during the game was I kept seeing these ads for this Tubi, I think it's called. It's another, like, we need another freaking streaming channel, right? But how many people online have become content creators in this day and age? Have started their own radio shows, TV shows, sitcoms, stand-up specials, you name it. The sky's the limit. There's never been a better time for this now. I mean, we live in an age right now where I know that if tomorrow I lose my job, and hell, it could be before 6 o'clock tonight, I could start something tomorrow and the Zioli Army's coming with me. And that's it. That gives me peace. I could sleep well at night. That wasn't always the case, though. But either way, the cream still rises to the top. You got to be good at what you do, and you got to keep getting better at what you do. You're only as good as your last show. And in my case, my last show is always a Thursday. So you're only as good as your last Thursday, in my case. I'm serious about that. You can't ever ride on your laurels in life, no matter what your profession is. You have to consistently try to be the best at your game. You have to consistently practice. I say this all the time. Professional athletes, since we're talking about the Super Bowl, they practice constantly. They're the best at what they do, and they do not settle, and they keep practicing at their game, and they keep getting better. I joke about not doing show prep, because I don't. But imagine a world in which I did. It would be a never-ending process, where I'm constantly scanning, constantly thinking, constantly emailing clips to Matt DeSantis, even on the weekends, constantly texting him, constantly coming up with new ideas, and constantly thinking of things we can do differently for this radio show. Because I don't want to settle for the last show. The next one's got to be even better. That's the standard we set on this program. Always has been, always will be. Tomorrow's show has to be better than today's show. Period. Has to be. And if that means a fill-in host, then so be it. But it has to be better. And the DEI mindset is this notion that we have limited resources of employment, limited resources of economic opportunities, of capitalism, of all these other things. And the reality is, if you peel back the layer of that, the mindset of socialism is exactly that. Is it not? The mindset of communism is exactly that as well. Scarcity of resources. So the state has to come along and allocate those resources. That's really what the DEI scam has always been about. You know that. It's never been about really making sure that, like, black people get jobs. It's always been about making sure that they can infiltrate the marketplace. And in doing so, they can effectively now control the marketplace, for the outcome being more scarcity of resources. And then they also scare people with this notion of scarcity of resources, and they try to quell innovation. And it's a mindset that is insane. So to hear myself say that, it sounds insane, but it's really what it's all about. You have to realize that. There are people who look at the world as believing in scarcity constantly, all the time. Everything from the climate change hysteria, the scam of that, DEI scam, all of it. Based on this notion, somebody else is winning and therefore you're losing. You're a victim. We talk about this all the time with Dr. Wilfred Riley, do we not? This idea that America is about oppression. There's the oppressed and the oppressors. And that mindset translates into everything. The left pushes that narrative all the time, making our children believe that too. It is a mindset. It is a deliberate mindset. Versus this notion that says, I can succeed in America. I just have to work really hard. I have to overcome obstacles. Everybody has to overcome obstacles. Hell, look, I've always said that one of the greatest, you want to talk privilege? How about Ivy League privilege? DeSantis was just in Vegas. I bet you he flew first class. Am I right, DeSantis, with your fancy Harvard degree? Yes or no?
I didn't fly. I was in Scottsdale, so I drove. It was like a 5-hour ride. It wasn't terrible.
But did you drive in a Bentley? Bet you did.
I wish. I don't have a Bentley, unfortunately.
Would you agree, somebody who's got an Ivy League degree from Harvard, which you earned, that there are people in life who have Ivy League degrees, there's a certain level of the an advantage in the workplace in having an Ivy League degree in many circumstances versus a public school degree?
I would say yes. I know a couple people, actually, that don't have, I would say, real jobs. They tutor high schoolers, basically, to take the SATs, and I know they make six figures. And I don't think you'd be able to do that if you had a degree from a state college, which isn't to say that anyone who graduated from an Ivy League school is more intelligent, but I do think that the status of the Ivy League degree definitely helps convince parents that they should part ways with enormous sums per hour to help you tutor their high school student.
That's amazing. What a scam that is. Holy cow. Learning about new scams every day in this country. That's just the latest. Damn it. Here's President Trump. We are now in a merit-based world, a merit-based country. Bravo. Cut number two.
We are now in a merit-based world. We're a merit-based country. Did you ever think you were going to hear that again? It's based on merit. If you've got the talent, if you've got the work, the ethic, the whole thing, it's based now on, it's not based on any other thing. It's based on merit. It's based on your capability. The United States has now become, again, a meritocracy. Isn't that a beautiful word? A meritocracy. Based on merit. If you do your job well, you're going to go places.
Imagine that. By the way, I'm just noticing something. You said you were in Vegas this weekend. Trump was in Vegas this weekend. Is there something you want to tell us, Matt DeSantis?
No, I had nothing to do with Donald Trump being there. But I will say, the locals were very excited that he was in the area.
Well, he was talking about no tax on tips. They all love that out there, right?
I would imagine. I had one Uber driver, actually, who I could tell almost instantaneously that he was a Donald Trump voter, but he was hesitant to say it because he wasn't sure if, you know, I supported Donald Trump.
Right.
So he kind of like beat around the bush for a while, but then basically just came out and said it.
It's like, so kick-ass week, right? I mean, I'm not saying about America necessarily, but hell of a week, right? Maybe in your own life, guy's a badass. I'm not saying Trump necessarily, but I mean, the guy's not effing around, am I right? It's like beating around the bush. I forgot Biden so quickly, people are confusing me with Joe Biden. That's how quickly I've forgotten about Joe Biden. It's amazing. All right, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zioli. Listen, Emmons Roofing and Siding, my go-to contractor for over 10 years in two different homes. That's right. Let Emmons do a great job for you. And 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. That's right. All I got to do is reach out to Emmons today. Listen, our first house, Emmons redid our roof. Lifetime warranty on that roof, transferable, of course. The best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle. He did such a great job. So let's do the windows, doors, siding. In our new house, they've already replaced a couple doors for us. More work on the way. Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division. And yes, we used Emmons to remodel the bathroom in our old house. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to Emmons today. The work is guaranteed. Matt and Stephanie are great people, and they serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And 10% off for each and every one of my listeners. There's no messing around here. Emmons is the real deal. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, baby. Big day today. It is the day after the Eagles won the NFC Championship. We're fired up. And it's going to be a big week for nominations on Capitol Hill as well. You know, this show has always been a mix of whatever I'm interested in talking about. That's it. That's how I got the show. If it interests me, I talk about it. If it doesn't, I don't talk about it. That's kind of how I've done it. It's the only way I can do a show. I can't cater to any one specific person because, I mean, I get emails like people love DeSantis. I'll give you a great example. Half the people listening to this show freaking hate Matt DeSantis' laugh with a passion and threaten to never listen again. Like 90% of the people that listen. There's like 10% that like his laugh or anything he contributes to the show. Great example. Sometimes I'm in the 90% camp. Who knows? Depends on the day. I got an email last week. Don't play clips of the left going crazy, but makes me laugh sometimes. So I do that. It just depends. It really does. It depends on my mood, and I can't try to do a show that's going to make you happy other than just give you a good show, because otherwise somebody's going to be unhappy. So that's my sort of the guiding principle. So, like, I don't start today by thinking, like, oh, we got to do an Eagles-heavy show. First of all, we're not a sports show. Secondly, I don't know a damn thing about it. Sports, that is. And the third reason is because I don't know anything about sports. So there's three very important reasons there. But I know you're excited. And I know the mayor of Philadelphia just jinxed it for us. I know she did. It hurts me. As an Italian, a superstitious Italian, it jinxed us. Matt, I just sent you the audio of the mayor of Philadelphia. Thanks to Tommy for saying this my way. Oh, last night I said the mayor of Philadelphia has vowed to learn how to spell the word Eagles by the Super Bowl. Everybody said, stop it, Zioli. Johnny Cook said, he said, this is why you should stick to politics and not sports. You don't know a damn thing about sports. You don't change anything now. It's superstition. I agree. I didn't say I wanted her to change to learn how to spell Eagles. I just made a prediction she was going to make a pledge to learn how to spell Eagles. Well, she should have come out today and kept the spelling exactly the same, which is wrong. E-L-G-L-E-S spells moon, but she didn't. And yes, that's a reference to The Stand. Well done. And today at City Hall, the mayor jinxed all of us in this city, our region, and maybe the country, too. Because what America doesn't need is it doesn't need Taylor Swift every two freaking seconds. It doesn't need that. It doesn't need refs that cheat. Frankly, I've had it with all of it. And Philadelphia deserves this, by the way, because we have been through a lot. Am I right? We have. I mean, like I said, the whole Revolutionary War thing, we played a big part in it. Whole Declaration of Independence thing, too. Played a big, big part in it. We deserve this. We have this coming. It's America's birthday soon. America owes us. That's the way I look at it. Anyway, here's the mayor jinxing all of us. Should be impeached, immediately removed from office for this grave violation of sports superstition. Take a listen.
We are Super Bowl bound, baby. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
No.
Mayor Sherrill Parker had this.
No. You spell it wrong. You don't change now. You don't wash the socks. You don't wash the jock strap. This is washing the jock strap. Yeah. Have her. Yeah. Do the misspelling, Matt DeSantis, which she did before we won the NFC Championship. Go ahead.
Let me hear you all say E-L-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
That's it. That's what it has to be, Mayor. I demand she be removed from office. She should have to give up, resign as mayor. There should be a petition, a recall, something. Something. This egregious violation of superstition, sports law, which I believe is a law. If I'm not mistaken, it might be in the Constitution. I haven't read it, but it could be in there, too. This is bad. This is like, you know, this is like when you spill salt if you don't throw it over your shoulder. Bad. This is breaking a mirror bad. Black cat crossing in front of you bad. Just bad. This guarantees, Justin, the refs are going to cheat their asses off now, and there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing.
I'm inconsolable in this moment in time hearing that audio. I don't know how I can go on.
My question is this. Have the Vegas odds changed dramatically? Like, does Kansas City have a 14-point lead now?
Yeah, they're 2 touchdown favorites all of a sudden. It's weird.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. Ugh. Speaking of people I can't stand in the city of Philadelphia, Larry Krasner being one of them. Here is Larry Krasner on National Public Radio, something I never listened to, but Johnny Cook, our buddy, does monitor it. And Johnny Cook found this gem for us of Larry Krasner talking about the January 6th protesters. Now, this is only audio, not visual, but listen, for you YouTubers out there who watch the show, however you stream the show, you got something the people who get the audio version only of this show did not get, which is me administering my own medication on this very program. That's right. I jabbed myself with my antibiotic last week. If you missed that, it's on our 1210 WPHT stream page, socials, all of it. And speaking of jabs, Trump has officially reinstated service members discharged for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine. Bravo, Mr. President. Well done. It's official. It's done. The executive order signed today. They are reinstated now officially with back pay. It's done. And also, today the president also did something regarding the World Health Organization. I remember this back in 2020. President Trump said back then, he said that the World Health Organization was the mouthpiece for China. Well, today the president issued an executive order ordering the CDC to immediately stop working with the World Health Organization immediately. And we will withdraw from the World Health Organization. And I say good. Good, because what they pulled, the crap that they pulled in 2020, covering up for China and lying to the world, damn right they knew it came from a lab, but they also knew that there was human-to-human transmission, and they lied to everybody and said it could not spread human-to-human. So good riddance to the World Health Organization. Trump was right in 2020 when he said they are a mouthpiece for China. They're a public relations arm of the Chinese government. He's absolutely correct on that point. We do not need the World Health Organization. And if you're worried about the rest of the world, well, you see, we can't worry about that. But the World Health Organization has done their fair share of screwing over the rest of the world. So just remember that. You're not going to hear that. You only hear the good things they did. You won't hear the bad things they did. Like just parroting the Chinese Communist Party's claims that COVID can't spread through human-to-human transmission. Anyway, back to Larry Krasner. So Larry Krasner, the district attorney of Philadelphia, looking to state charges. This is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. It's 2025. It's a new year. It's time for all of us to smile. There's so much for us to be happy about. So get your beautiful smile today by going to VeneriaDental.com, my dentist and the master of dental implants. Cut 20.
And it is not just a Pennsylvania question, not just a Philly question. It's a national question. This is not so much about whether or not there are identical charges over exactly what happened in D.C. on January 6th. This is more about whether there is conduct that occurred within local jurisdictions before January 6th or after January 6th that is criminal conduct and that can be charged by those states. And the reason it's crucial is that the president of the United States has no power to pardon state court convictions. And many people, including many prosecutors, are concerned that there may be a level of unfairness, a gap of accountability for people who participated in an event on January 6th that was clearly for the benefit of the person who is pardoning them and giving them clemency. There's at least an argument that these people are co-conspirators with the person who is pardoning them or giving them clemency. So for those of us who actually believe in the rule of law, we actually believe in the Constitution, we believe in laws, when we see this extreme favoritism that arguably enables political violence moving forward, so long as it's for the benefit of the person given the pardons, there has to be an answer.
What types of things are we talking about here?
Let me just pause it right there. What types of things are we talking about here? What is that NPR voice? How do you learn that? Like, Justin, when you went to broadcasting school at Rowan, did they teach, is there a class on that, that NPR voice?
No, I think that's just, I was never taught, as you can tell, I was never taught the NPR voice.
No. You have a great voice. You got a great, authentic voice.
Thank you.
You don't have the... This is what every NPR person sounds like to me.
It's like they program them with a specific text-to-speech. Like, they're all text-to-speech robots, and they all have the same cadence, same way they talk.
Same monotonous, boring, you know, meatballs, do you put, do you like Parmesan, do you put raisins in the meatballs? Doesn't matter what they're talking about. It's the same thing. It's the same freaking thing. Just back it up to her question of Larry Krasner, the district attorney of Philadelphia, who, I remind you, Philadelphia is not the capital of the United States of America and has not been for a very long time, like 20 years or something like that. All right. So he has no jurisdiction in the nation's capital anymore. But just rewind it back to that question for me, if you would, Justin, please, or whoever's doing it, Kirk, whoever.
Of the person given the pardons, there has to be an answer.
What types of things are we talking about here?
You could have people who months earlier.
Stop it right there again. So what types of things are we talking about here? You know what it sounds like to me? She needs that yogurt that Jamie Lee Curtis was pushing out for a long time. Does it not sound like that she needs that? You know what I'm talking about.
Activia, yeah.
Activia. Doesn't she sound a little backed up? I'm like, how do you even make that voice? How do you make that, like, what kind of a face? I think there's an NPR class. You get a job there. You get a show there. And the first thing you do is, okay, now lose any natural communication ability that you have, and you need to proceed and speak in a monotone, boring tone, and that's all you can do. Now, the other part of that is that Larry Krasner's idea here is that these people co-conspired with Trump, and therefore Trump can't pardon them. I missed that in the Constitution, where it says that the president can't pardon people if he likes them or if he colluded with them or anything. Like, in other words, the Biden crime family. Just pointing this out here to Larry Krasner. You may want to think about this. Okay, because under your theory, Trump had, first of all, nothing to gain from pardoning the January 6th prisoners, because guess what? He's already, what's the word for it? President. Right. So at best, they could have been angry at him. Maybe people would have been very angry at him for not fulfilling that campaign promise. And maybe he wouldn't get reelected. Oh, wait, he can't be. He's prohibited from running again. So how did he benefit from this exactly? But you just made the argument that the president was basically pardoning his co-conspirators, and you can't do that because then you benefit from the pardon. So then, using that Larry Krasner standard, when Joe Biden pardons Hunter Biden, brother James Biden, and every person with the last name Biden but himself, is he not pardoning potentially all of his co-conspirators? You damn right he is. So under your theory, Larry Krasner, every prosecutor who's MAGA or Republican should be looking into whether they can go after the Bidens. And maybe Joe Biden himself. Because according to what you said, Trump broke the law because he's pardoning his co-conspirators. So therefore, he's violated some mysterious constitutional thing that doesn't exist in the Constitution when it comes to the president's pardon powers. But hey, if that's the case, then prosecute Joe Biden. Because unlike Trump, Biden has everything to gain from keeping the Biden crime family silenced. Trump has literally nothing to gain from pardoning the January 6ers. Nothing. All he gets actually is bad press for it. He doesn't get anything from it. I mean, he already won. He can't run again. You could say it would hurt J.D. Vance, but J.D. Vance doesn't have the power to pardon them, so J.D. Vance isn't affected if he's the nominee. You could also make an argument that Larry Krasner should just shut the hell up and do his job as the district attorney of Philadelphia, where there's plenty of criminals, but he doesn't really care about criminals, does he? No. And this notion that, what, if you conspired in Philadelphia County by what? I don't know, using Google Maps to plan your trip to D.C. that day? Is that a conspiracy? Do we charge Google, too? Do we charge MapQuest? Freaking thing that you use now? Waze? Again, I'm asking for a friend here. Because I'm trying to understand this point. So if you call it conspiracy, anything involving more than one person. So if you and a buddy took a road trip from Philadelphia to January 6th in the Capitol that day, and you got a pardon from Trump. So what, Larry Krasner can charge you now with planning a road trip? Am I hearing that correctly? Now, if you stop to get snacks at Wawa, is Wawa implicated in this too? I'm just trying to understand how this works. If they had knowledge of whereabouts, if the guy was like, oh, where are you headed? We'll go to the Capitol today. We're going to protest and stop the steal. That gas station attendant, well, I know you people in PA, you don't have to, you know, you fill up your own. But let's say you're inside getting a coffee. Person on the counter goes, where are you headed? Oh, we're going to D.C. Why? We're going to go protest to stop the steal. I think this election was stolen. We're going to show our support for President Trump. Right on, my man. Does that guy get charged, too? Is he a part of the conspiracy, Larry Krasner? Should he have called the cops that day? Or did he not have any knowledge of what would happen that day? So, therefore, he's off the hook. But what if the other two people didn't have any knowledge of what would happen that day? What if they just went into the Capitol on a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing? So then it's really not a nefarious plot here, is it? And if it was such a nefarious plot that they planned secretly in Philadelphia, like Washington spies or something like that, they still were pardoned because it would still be a federal crime to plan an insurrection, even though it was never charged as an insurrection. That would still be what? Federal offense. Right. If they were planning to take over the state capitol in Harrisburg, I could make an argument. You might be on some firm ground here. However, that's not what they were charged with. So it's still federal. In other words, it none of your freaking business. That's why I could never be an NPR reporter. First day on the job, when I had to ask a question in that freaking voice, I'd be fired. First day. Be like, so, man, when you were discussing quantum, Zioli, I mean, you know what? This is stupid. I'm just going to talk like myself. All right. This is stupid. Dumb. This is dumb. What? How are we even on the air right now? Oh, I forgot because the taxpayers fund this. That's right. Nobody's really listening to this crap. Unless we're getting taxpayers funding for it, which is why I see all the billboards in 95, by the way. That's right. It's your money at work. Hopefully, you want to talk about shutting something down. How about that? How about in the year 2025, we don't need government-funded radio anymore? That's a novel idea. Or government-funded PBS, or government-funded anything in the year 2025. Just a novel idea. Throwing it out there. All right, 855-839-1210, on X, at Rich Zioli. I wish I knew a guy in Washington I could run this idea past. I don't know. Maybe someone will come to me. We got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up straight ahead for you. We're streaming live on YouTube. President Trump has signed more executive orders. More of his people will face a scrutiny of the Senate confirmation hearings this week. We'll talk about Tulsi Gabbard, Bobby Kennedy, J.D. Vance crushed it on Sunday on the Sunday shows. Battling. This is how it's done. It's a masterclass by the Vice President of the United States of America. And, of course, the big story, the CIA, COVID came from the lab, not an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.